In the fabled land of Northern California, nestled in the Valley of Sacramento, two friends begin a journey to enlighten the world about their experience living life as a Xenial. But what is a Xenial, you may ask? If you wish to know, then follow them on their adventures.
Welcome to the Xenial Chronicles. This is James.
This is Mike.
And, we're a week late giving you an episode. We took a week off. And here's the thing. We had said the last episode when we talked about all the worst candies, which, by the way, I do want to make the comment. We had Halloween. We went trick-or-treating. I know you probably passed out candy for Halloween.
We did, actually. My wife and I both did. It was nice. Fantastic. We actually were... we looked some stuff up as far as like what the best protocol would be for passing out candy to be as safe as possible. And we took that safety protocol. We actually decided to hang out outside. We did catch some trick-or-treaters, some repeats, some teenagers. We don't care. Like, yeah. I know people that do. They're like, oh, you're too old for trick-or-treating. It's like, dude, we've got so much stupid candy, but we still got spare candy. So yeah, you want to hit our house 2-3 times? We don't care. That's fine. Well, that's why we got it to pass out, you know?
The idea of too old for trick-or-treating, I think we're trying to make people grow up a little bit too quickly. 18, 19, I'm still good with 20. I don't care. Kids dressing up and doing it, especially if the kids are with their, like, especially if you have kids with their younger siblings, hook them up.
Exactly. You know what I mean? They're going out. I mean, that's like giving them a tip for doing a good job. Man, you're out there hanging out with your younger sibling, making sure they're safe. They deserve a candy bar. You know?
I was actually in costume this year. Did I send you the picture, or you saw the picture online probably on Facebook of the costumes?
I did not see your costume.
You didn't see the picture that the wife posted of the costumes?
No, I did not. I must take a look.
You're gonna have to check her Facebook page for it. And she posted a picture of it's my sister-in-law.
Yeah.
If we go from right to left.
Did she tag you?
She may have tagged me in it. Yes.
Okay, I'm gonna take a look and see if I can find it.
So actually, I go from left to right, or no, right to left, right to left. I'll go right to left. So on the right,
is that you on the right?
Where?
The group, the what looks like the family picture.
It's a group outside, right, sitting outside.
Yeah, and are you sitting down?
Okay. No, sitting down is the wife's sister.
Oh my God, you're second from the left. Ah, that's great.
And then there's the three kids, and then there's me.
Holy shit, is that
you like the wizard? Names, sir, but yes, my daughter. Yes.
I will handle that. I apologize. I'm marking it right now.
In the witch costume, yes, that's my daughter in the witch
costume.
Sorry,
I apologize, but yes, I will make sure that I know that names are your name is the only one that is allowed, and I am
my name
very
is the only
respectful
one allowed.
Of that. Yeah.
So yes, that is my daughter as the in the witch costume. Yes, my daughter was a witch. One of my younger son was a lion, and my specifically Alex the lion from Madagascar. He
nice.
Wouldn't wear a name tag that said it was Alex, but he was still Alex the lion from Madagascar. And then my oldest child was supposed to be King Kong.
We got him a gorilla
outfit, and he's carrying the axe from Kong versus Godzilla.
Nice.
The axe is made from a scale from the back of Godzilla and like a bone, and so he's carrying the axe.
That's great.
But yes, I'm a gray wizard, which we spent a decent amount of money on that costume. It's a nice wizard costume. It's actually a really good wizard costume.
It looks great.
Fantastic, huh? And then next to me in a dragon costume is actually a new friend of mine to an extent. It's the sister-in-law's boyfriend. He's a new friend of mine, and maybe a new friend to many people. This is a name I'm actually allowed to say. I have permission to say this.
Oh,
name.
Okay.
And it's at least I'm gonna have permission to say it here on podcast because this is a name that podcast listeners should know. That's Zach.
Oh, that's Zach. Okay.
That's Zach. Yes. He did not want to wear a costume. The dragon costume that he is wearing is one that we've had in the household that multiple people have worn over different Halloweens and purposes. In fact, his girlfriend, the sister-in-law, wore it, I believe, last year for work.
That's adorable. Like the fact that you guys have a community Halloween costume.
Well, it's kind of the extra in case people don't have any costumes for
yeah.
not have a costume. So we basically browbeat him into wearing the costume for Halloween with us. And then he went around with me and the kids doing the trick or treating. And so, yeah, he took it all in stride. Very, very, very level-headed about it. But yeah, that's Zach for you, since I know you hadn't seen anything of Zach yet. You've heard of Zach.
I have. Lot. Yeah.
Maybe I'm saying it a lot on purpose.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Who knows? Anyway, so yeah, we did the trick-or-treating thing like we talked about for the last episode. We did not get any of the crappy candy. No Almond Joys, no Mounds, luckily, and no Necco wafers. Luckily, I had those in a supply at home. Thank you very much. we did get a single out of all the candy. There was a single Crackle bar. And I mentioned this only because for a while there, Nestle and Hershey were competing on their different bars to have the different things in them. And I was always a big Crunch Bar fan, and I still am. I love Crunch Bars, which is Nestle. But every now and again, you want a Crackle. I'm going to say this. I love Crunch Bars. I really, really do. Crackles are better.
You know what? Personally, I have never been able to find a full-size Crackle Bar. I've never seen one in the wild. I have no idea where to find one.
It's been 20 years since I've seen one, but I have seen one. It's been forever. Normally, you just get the little one. Yeah. I would love to get a full size Crackle Bar again. They are very, very hard to find. But I like, especially when you're dealing with the smaller miniatures. The miniature Crackles so much better than the miniature Crunches. Now, again, a big crunch is so different from the miniature Crunch, so different. But I love me some Crackle. I really love me some Crackle.
You know, it's funny because you're making me, like, we just got like a general, you know, kind of Halloween candy bag. You know, that group together bag where it's all one specific type, but we only did one brand. So we've only got like a group of four or five different ones. And I think the one I have is Hershey, but there's no Crackle in it. And now there's no Crackle in it. There was Kit Kat. And the one that I got has Kit Kats and Whoppers. Little mini Whoppers are like, they're fun.
I love Whoppers.
Whoppers are so awesome.
Good.
I had the little mini Whoppers in that one. We've got the mini Kit Kats. We have, you know, the regular Hershey bars, which are nice if you want like a good base chocolate bar, right? Ain't nothing wrong with Hershey chocolate.
The good thing about the Hershey bars is like the leftover like little Hershey bars.
Yeah.
You know, okay, make yourself some s'mores out of it if you want to. Also, those are just really good. The cool thing about the Hershey's chocolate is you can just break off a piece, just set it on your tongue and just let it melt itself away. This is why I love Hershey's Kisses. They're one of my most favorite like chocolatey candies to get. I don't talk about it much because it's one of those like really Hershey's Kisses. They're just so normal. Yeah, what's cool is you just pop it in your mouth and let the thing just freaking melt. You don't have to chew it. You don't have to do it. Just let it melt and it slowly melts into perfection of chocolate.
Yes.
And so it's just but anyway. You get the same thing from the Hershey's bars. You're talking about Kit Kat though. Kit Kat, see, we do flavors so much on this. You know, we've talked about flavors of chips, we talk about flavors of sodas. Kit Kat is the candy equivalent of throwing out flavors, because recently they've had like, you know, full size mocha Kit Kat bars and key lime Kit Kat bars.
Good Lord. Yeah, they're doing the variant thing.
Fantastic. The key lime are amazing. Well, for Halloween, they did a marshmallow one. We'll do a whole episode on this, but we've done it enough. They did a marshmallow one that was amazing. Have you had the marshmallow one? It's like a Witch's Brew marshmallow one.
What?
Oh my God. Witch's Brew marshmallow Kit Kat. It is so amazing. The only place we found it was at Target. But
oh my God.
Amazing. Dude, so good.
As full as my house is with things to do, I may have to make time to go and go grab some discount Halloween candy. Like, if it, you're making if, me well, want a crunch bar, dude.
It may be gone by now, but here's the thing. I can save you a few of the Witch's Brew marshmallow ones, and maybe do a drive by the house and drop off some Witch's Brew marshmallow Kit Kat.
Oh, that sounds pieces. Amazing.
That's if I can pry them away from the wife.
Understood.
They also have an orange cream one that they did here at Halloween time. And then at Christmas time every year, Thanksgiving, they have a pumpkin pie version mm-hmm. or a pumpkin spice version, because there's pumpkin spice everything, of course, which I have the pumpkin spice ones because we get them every year. And then for Christmas, they have a gingerbread one, which I am one of those people that I love everything gingerbread, if that makes any sense.
Understood. Yep. I'm there with that.
I love gingerbread, like gingerbread cookies, molasses cookies, but like anything gingerbread, that's one of the things I look forward to for the Christmas season is gingerbread flavored stuff. Cause like, I'm totally down. Anything you want to do. That's the way to get me to go somewhere like the evil Starbucks. I only say that because it appeared me agreeing to drink at Starbucks 10 years ago appeared in my Facebook feed the other day. That was more about hooking up with a girl than it was anything else. I still don't drink at Starbucks. I was willing to at that point in time if it got me the girl. You know what I'm talking about. But everybody else is like, wait, he's been married for how long? And he's trying to get a girl. What the hell's going on? Trust me, if you know, you know. And guess what? To reiterate that message, because you probably don't remember those messages from back then, but to reiterate that message, I know. Anyway, I'll explain later.
Okay.
I'll explain later to you, not to anybody else. Everybody else. And if the person who knows about it actually is listening to this, which never happens anymore, they will get a laugh out of it. I'd be like, okay. Really? You said that on there? Yes, I did. But anyway, that's the way to get me to go to Starbucks is if they have a gingerbread coffee of some type or another, I will go in to get the gingerbread coffee because gingerbread is amazing. People have gingerbread cookies. Okay, I'll have gingerbread cookies. For the longest time, we didn't do gingerbread houses. You know, we have kids. Why don't you do gingerbread houses? And it's like, we never did them. We never did them. Finally found out my wife doesn't like gingerbread. And I'm like, I do?
Wow. And so
I think it was last year that we made gingerbread houses for the first time. We bought a little one of those decorated yourself kits where it had a gingerbread village. So there were four houses that we could make. So each of the kids got to design a house, and then me and the wife designed the house with all the stuff on it. And then we proceeded me and only one of the kids actually likes gingerbread. So it's the oldest. So we proceeded to We made them, took pictures of them while they were being made, and then pictures of them while when they were finished.
Yes.
And then we proceeded to take a hammer to them, and one of the ones from the kitchen, like the ones you used to like tenderize meat and stuff.
Yeah.
We broke apart the houses so that they'd be easier to eat, because that stuff's pretty crunchy.
Yeah.
And then we staged a bunch of pictures with, the oldest is, the huge Godzilla fan.
Oh, King Kong this fan. Sounds
we
amazing.
We staged pictures of Godzilla and King Kong, like,
yes,
like they're fighting, like they were fighting and destroyed this little village, and they're laying on top of King Kong's laying on top of a broken down house, and Godzilla's standing over it and stuff. And yeah, so we because why not lean into that crap?
Yeah, anyway, dude.
We enjoyed it. We'll be doing it again this year. Maybe I'll post the pics on the Facebook page, probably not, because I'm stupid and I never get those things done. But
dude, that kind of stuff is Instagram gold. Like what you're talking about doing, that stuff is gold. Yeah. That's the kind of shit that gets shared all over the place. Oh my God, look at this family, what they did. They did Godzilla v. Kong over a gingerbread city. God, that sounds amazing.
That's what we do. Which, by the way, we did. Leaning into being in full costume when we were taking the kids around trick-or-treating. My wife didn't go. She stayed at home passing the candy out with her sister and her grandmother. The funny thing is the wife was a witch as well, to match with the daughter and with me to an extent being a wizard. But there were apparently she did a good enough job on her witch costume that, and she just had regular makeup on, you know, black lipstick, nothing like, it's not like she was the Green Witch from Wizard of Oz or anything. which by the way, I want to do one year. I totally want to do a Wizard of Oz family costume thing. Want to do that. Have the daughter be Dorothy, have the wife be the Wicked Witch. That would be the argument, because both of them would want to be the Wicked Witch, but we'd get the daughter to be Dorothy. And then it's just the younger kid, the younger boy, it would be the Scarecrow. And if you think about him, that makes sense. The other boy would be the Tin Man, because I think he'd be perfect as the Tin Man. Mm-hmm. And I would be the Cowardly Lion. But now we already have a lion costume for the younger boy. We'll let him be the lion. We'll still let the older boy be the Tin Man. I guess I can try to pull off the Scarecrow.
I think you could do the Scarecrow extremely well.
But anyway,
you would pull off a Scarecrow.
I'd love to do. I'd love to do a full family Wizard of Oz costume, and then the grandmother dress her up as one of the flying monkeys. That works.
Makes a lot of sense to me. That's great.
But anyway, I can. Well, if and one of my sisters, we can dress as one of the Munchkins. That's another little story. She doesn't listen to this either. But we did get a lot of compliments on the fact that that myself and Zach, who was with me with the kids, were in costume. But the wife was dressed as the witch, and apparently there were some little kids who were a little too afraid to approach to get candy from her, even though she wasn't, like I said, the green-faced witch or anything. She was just normal, you know, dressed as a witch with a little bit of makeup, and nope, kids were afraid. But yeah, we were a big hit on the costume circuit. But anyway, that was the last podcast we did was the day of we recorded it the day of Halloween. It came out the day after, and we were going to talk about our Halloween exploits on the next week. But things happened.
Yeah,
actually, it was the week. Recorded was the week before.
Yeah, it was the week before Halloween. We were going to talk about that,
Halloween Day. We were going to record something. We wouldn't have been able to tell about all the experiences. We would have talked about what costumes you were wearing. So we wouldn't have gotten all the experiences.
Yeah, this is how crazy it's been. We don't even know what week it is anymore. Yeah,
I'm missing days.
Yeah.
We were going to meet on the morning of Halloween. I'm glad we didn't, because we had to do a last minute decorate of our front yard, which turned out fairly decent. I didn't get pictures of that, sadly, but we did learn that we have to do a slightly different decoration for next year. We need to have people not walk up the steps to our house. We need them just to walk up the driveway, because the steps are too difficult. It gets bunched up. It's crazy. We'll have to work that out. But anyway, that's our problem for next year. But we were all supposed to meet, and then things happened.
Yeah.
Like I said, I had a few things that I needed to do, but that was minor in comparison to what happened in your household. Now, I know you've discussed this on your other social media platforms that you're involved with, your Chronosode Games, which is the gaming channel that Mike and his wife do, where they play video games. You can find that on YYouTube and on what's the thing? The Twitch thing, is that it?
We have a couple of things. We have some social media stuff, the Chronosode Playground mainly. If you mean the video stuff, yes, we do have a Twitch channel. Yeah. And we have our YouTube channel has been like our main thing for a while, but we do also have a Discord channel, where you can actually chat with us personally, and chat with Tasha. She handles the Chronosode handle, so
that'd be your wife, right?
Yeah, that's my wife, Tash. Wife. She's handling the Chronosode channel, and we did make an announcement there, but we didn't make any announcements on Twitch or on YouTube or anything. When we get done with this podcast, I'm actually going to reveal an announcement video, or I'm going to record an announcement video to go up tomorrow, because this last week worth of time that we've had, because this has been going on for about a week now, this last week worth of time, we have had I've had an archive to run, but I've run it out. Yeah. Like today is the last day, the last video that I have of our regular videos.
And so you're going to make an announcement of why there needs to be a little bit of time off. And
yes,
that's, We took last week off, and I want to let people know listening right now, we're doing this. We're able to do this episode right now, but we may or may not, depending on what's going on, we may or may not have a couple more episodes that get missed, one here, one there, maybe, maybe not. Maybe we'll be back again next week to have a new one, but we will be keeping you informed this week. It was difficult to keep informed because, and which is why normally we have a video when we miss a, when we miss a podcast. We didn't this week, and I told Mike specifically not to worry about it because he's usually good at getting those videos put out. He likes his lighting better and his editing better. He hates my lighting in my place. And he hates the fact that I just kind of drone on and on. He does this creative editing thing when he's doing the filming of stuff that, that looks more polished and looks better. I just look like some schlub sitting in his, low lit office rambling, which it's, that's, I can't disagree with him in that. That's what I do look like. But anyway, I told him not to worry about it because of what was going on. So I'm gonna kind of leave the floor to you to explain. Just so we're clear, Mike and his wife have agreed to because they have their the various social media things. They have a presence and a kind of a following and a fan base that they do have relationships with. Not just being there to create content, but actual relationships with. They are fully okay with revealing all this information. I know there's certain things about my life that I do keep private at the request of my wife specifically, but you know, I let some things out, but I keep some things in a little more private because I'm the only one that has any kind of presence out there. Mike and his wife have a presence. And so,
yeah, we can kind of explain a little bit.
He wants to share a little bit about this.
Well, I want to make sure that when Tash is able to share stuff in detail, if she decides to do so, she can. But right, I'm going to give a general synopsis. Unfortunately, Tash's father was very sick over the last few years. He had a lung condition, and due to unfortunate circumstances out where he was at, he contracted COVID, and it was a factor in essentially exacerbating those issues, and he unfortunately passed away last Tuesday, I believe.
I believe that was right.
Yeah, he passed away on Tuesday, and Tash flew out. She's out of the house right now. She flew out to Texas to go be with her family at this time. So that's unfortunate what's going on. She's out there. She's just helping take care of family. She's helping make sure everyone's okay. So we're giving her some time, and in this last week worth, we're just kind of chilling. But unfortunately, I say unfortunately, I cannot be out there with her. I am still back at home because we've got a very full house. We have a lot of animals here. Long story short, we have a zoo, and four of those animals are dogs that need attention, and they need food, and they need maintenance. We have chickens as well.
Surprising? Is it surprising that the way our some of the similarities that have happened in both yours and my life? I mean, I do have children that you don't have, but when it comes to the wives that we have, both of us ended up with wives that decided to have zoos in their house.
Because
we both. I mean, we can go down a list of like, you got one of these? Yeah, I got one of those. You got one instead. It's like, you know, you got an iguana. I don't got one of those anymore, but I got like. Four or five bearded dragons, and I got two different kinds of skink, and you know, I got some frogs. Oh, we got some frogs. I got one snake. We got a couple of those. You know, so you have those responsibilities out there, and I want to add the reason that we did not do the episode last week was because it was over the weekend or before the weekend that you guys had found out, Mike and Tasha had found out that her dad was getting worse, and she was working on the trip and prepping the household and Mike within the household to be able to keep the household running, floating, all these animals, all these things that are normally the things that his wife takes care of for the most part. Not saying he doesn't help out, but it is in a very similar circumstance. It is her zoo. He just enjoys being a part of it. It's
exactly
my house. My wife's zoo, and I enjoy being a part of it as well. But the wives are the ones that they in our situations, not because they're wives, but because they are the ones that like having all of the animals. They are the
ones. I don't know if you'll hear this, but I got a dog shaking his collar out. Now he's moving into my. I've got one dog in the lap right now.
Well, so, and that is an added thing for this episode. Normally Mike is sequestered away in his little studio room where you don't necessarily hear things. The dogs have learned to know when he's done with an episode because they'll start barking after he's done.
Yep.
But right now, because she's not there his wife is not there to help kind of keep them calm and keep them okay while he's doing the podcast. They are in the room with him. So you may hear some barks. You may hear some growls. You may hear some other noises. You may hear Mike saying things to the dogs at different points in time.
Right now, yes, I'm getting all of the love from Clint Eastwood over here, who basically he's Tash's dog. He lives on her lap and he needs that kind of, he's a lap dog. And so he needs to live on laps. That's his thing.
And yes, you heard that correctly. That dog is named Clint Eastwood.
Yes.
They have another dog named Adam West.
Yep.
These are the ones that they got to choose the names for.
Yeah.
Two others they did not choose the names for.
Yeah.
I am quite certain if they had chosen the names, they would be more creative.
I did celebrity name them as celebrity nicknames. I don't ever call them that, but we have Oso, who is, he looks like a dachshund terrier. But he's actually a poodle chihuahua mix, but he's like poodle chihuahua terrier or something like that, which is crazy because Clint is also a poodle chihuahua and they look absolutely nothing alike. But because
he grows some similarity,
he's stocky and he grows a beard. So
Wilford?
I named him one of two names. He is either Wilford Brimley or Peter Dinklage.
Okay.
He looks more like Peter Dinklage from Game of Thrones with the goatee and everything.
I get that, actually. Totally see that with him.
And then our other dog, Bashita, she's an Italian greyhound, which means if you were to take a... She looks like if you were to take a greyhound, like an actual full-size greyhound dog. And make her really tiny. So I named her Tilda Swinton.
Yes. Oh, God, that's perfect.
Gangly and skinny and kind of weird, but like not in an unusual or creepy way.
it's funny that we took a different.
Maybe Gwyneth Paltrow might also work. I'm not sure.
That would work too. I like the Tilda Swinton better.
Tilda Swinton.
At least she can act.
There's a there is somewhat of a level of grace to what she has too. Like she can be a little. You know, she can be a little all over the place sometimes, and she can get goofy if she wants to be, but there is a level of grace to her, so Tilda Swinton seemed to hit.
She also is not trying to sell a candle that smells like her vagina, so there's that. But anyway,
she did accidentally poop on the couch in the middle of all of this chaos, though.
Tilda Swinton? No. <Or the dog. laughs> Because
now we're just well, that, if there is somebody that just popped in the middle of this podcast out of nowhere, they wouldn't understand a damn thing.
What is Tilda Swinton doing pooping on somebody's couch? And how do they have those kinds of connections? And they only have this many people listening. You and I took a slightly different tack on that. You used the actual actor and actress's names. I used character names for the dogs that I had at different points, although I only had two that were named after, I think, really important characters. But we use a lot of character names for all the pets. But you remember I had the one dog that was named Katie. But
yes,
the wife had named her Katie, but I said my name for her was Caitlin Bree.
Yes.
Which I thought was very, very, very intelligent for anybody that knows. Again, I do a lot of that. Anybody that knows, it's intelligent. And then we rescued a dog that was named Sam. We rescued a dog that was named Sam, and we call him Sam Adams.
Oh, that's great.
Not after the historical American patriot, but after the beer.
We're naming him after the beer.
We named him after the beer. Yes,
it would be. That's like,
wow.
Awesome.
You're really into American history. No, kind of into beer.
No, especially, but the beer is good.
Especially Sam Adams beer because it's. I like a Boston Lager. It's pretty good beer.
Yeah,
but anyway. anyway, to where we if you notice, we talked about something really serious, the fact that we took a break and a week off so that Mike could get kind of things prepared and ready for his wife to make a trip. And this was just when she knew her father was very sick and probably was close to the end. Not that he had actually passed away yet, but she was trying to get out there to see him and to you know, get prepared for it. That's why we took the time off. We talked about that. Yeah. And that's a serious thing. But then we got into some funny stuff. And this is actually, I'm glad we did, because I want to discuss this fact that this gives us an opportunity to discuss the fact that we have gotten to an age, the people in the Zennial generation, we're at the age where, unless something, you know, really bad has happened and we've lost a parent earlier than this.
Hey, I have a question for you. Can you hold that point? I've got my dog bugging me and I think he needs to go to the bathroom.
All right, yep. We will hold that point. I'll tell you what we'll do. We're going to take a break right now.
Okay.
We're going to take a break.
All right.
And when we come back, we'll do the point.
All right. That sounds good. Thanks, man.
All right. See you in a minute.
All right.
Hey, friends. This is Mike from the Zennial Chronicles reminding you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Zenchron, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N, to keep up to date on all things TXC. And please check out our official website, thezennialchronicles.com, or if that's too much to type, zenchron.com. Thanks again for listening, and now back to the show.
And we're back, everybody. Mike got the dog out successfully to go to the bathroom.
Yes, yes.
Which we were able to do. And that's part of the thing that's going to be happening at this moment in time, obviously for this specific podcast, but maybe for any more that we do in the future, depending on what ends up going on in the Mike household.
Yeah.
is having these kind of interruptions is the wrong word, because people take that as a negative, but it does show that we are normal people that have the normal things in our life, like pets that we have to take care of, kids that we have to take care of, and to the point here, family members that the worst thing possible happens with. And I was getting to the point before we took the break, I was leading up to it, the idea that we in the Zennial generation, we are getting to that age where if it has not happened already at too young an age, we are going to start to have to think about and start dealing with our parents passing away, our parents dying. Because if you think about it, we're either in our 40s or just about to be into our 40s, and that will put our parents at bare minimum in their 60s, sometimes even a little bit older than that. I know that my father is well ensconced in his 70s at this point. Now, admittedly, he had a group of children before he had me. I was a little bit later in his life, but that doesn't necessarily make much of a difference. There are a lot of people whose parents were 30 or so when they had them. So you may have anywhere from the ages of 60 up to 80 that you could have, us in the Zennial generation could have our parents getting into. Anybody that is not Zennial that is listening to this, depending on which generation you're in, either your parents are already in that advanced age or your parents aren't, quite there yet. Or if you're young enough and listening, your parents are in our generation. So it's good for you to know this, because and have this discussion, because that means that if you're the younger crowd, your parents will be dealing with this at some point very shortly, the loss of their parents. And here's the thing. At some point, we've all experienced some kind of loss, be it from a pet, which is a meaningful loss, regardless of what some people want to say about it being as meaningful. It is a very meaningful loss, like with you, Mike, and your wife. Your pets are the world to you, both. And the loss of any of them is a devastating blow to your day-to-day routine. It changes everything about the way that you live your life.
Yeah.
And that's huge. You're used to having those people in your life daily. Everybody to some extent has experienced some kind of a loss of a friend, family member, pet, something that is close to them, something that they have something or someone they have an emotional connection with. But there are a few of those connections that sometimes are a little bit more difficult dealing with. Not all the time, admittedly, but sometimes are a little more difficult dealing with than some of the others. And the more difficult ones, your parents, typically your spouse, if that ever does happen to you, or when that does happen to you, again, as you get older, and if you ever have the misfortune of having children pass away before you do.
Yeah.
These are all some of the most difficult losses in our life to work through. And we are in that generation where those windows are opening for us to have to deal with the loss of our parents, because they are getting to the age where that becomes much more commonplace and happening, and eventually will happen. Although there are those few that may, you know, end up living into their hundreds and whatnot. It does happen. Yeah. Not saying it doesn't. I know my grandfather, my mother's dad, he is 91 years old this year. So
wow.
he far outlived at least one of his children since my mother passed away almost 10 years ago. He very much outlived her. And I have no idea how long he's going to keep going. He's stubborn enough, I'm sure, to keep going for as long as possible. But this is the realm that we're moving into, is that age group where we start to have our own and our friends and our contemporaries, their parents will start becoming ill, start needing possibly additional care, and or we'll be moving into that moment of passing away. And it's something I'm mentioning it because, again, Mike is now dealing with that with his wife. His wife is now having to work through that situation. And as somebody who has lost one of their parents, it is a different feeling of going through than I've had aunts, uncles, grandparents, all those things pass away at different points in time. I remember distinctly the day that we found out that my grandmother, my dad's mother, had passed away. Now his father died about 6 months before I was born, so I never got to meet my actual grandfather. And that's a whole other story in and of itself, involving a weird Julia Roberts movie and interestingly enough, kind of sort of a weird Bill Murray movie because of when my grandfather died and when his birthday actually is. Really weird.
Whoa.
Did
you just give me a clue? Like, I feel like I'm putting two and two together here.
I discussed with you at some point when my grandfather died.
Yeah.
He died right before his birthday.
Oh wow.
And so very, very interesting. I do have a little bit of connection to him, even though I never met him, in that my mother was pregnant with me when he did die. And I am halfway named after him. Him and I share a middle name. We are the only two people in the family that have that middle name. I didn't get his first name because he had the same first name as my dad, which my oldest brother has, and technically his first son has as well. So we had enough of that first name in the family. We don't need another one of that first name in the family.
Oh, okay.
But I do share the middle name with my late grandfather, and we're the only two that have it. Blessedly, we're the only two that have it, because it's not necessarily, of all the names that start with that letter that they could have picked, that's the least, least easy to deal with. the other people in the family got lucky with theirs. They got better ones. But I remember the day that my grandmother passed away. At that point, my dad technically, even though he was a fully grown adult, he technically became an orphan at that point, in the sense that both of his parents were gone. Both of his parents had passed. And I remember it so distinctly because I was at home with my younger sisters. We had a family friend that was kind of helping watch over all of us. I was 13, 14. I just turned 14, I think. And so I was old enough to watch my sisters, but we had a family friend that was hanging out at the house to kind of help watch. My parents were out with my mom's father and mother for the evening. And this is in the pre-cell phone days. Some people had them. We did not, because we didn't have enough money to be having a cell phone at that point in time, and no need to. because again, it's 94. The cell phones existed, but you had money if you had a cell phone.
Yeah.
And I received a call from my great grandparents who were still alive, trying to find my dad. And the family friend who was helping out, they had left the house for a few moments to go get supplies to make sundaes. They were getting like, you know, caramel sauce and chocolate sauce and all that stuff. We're gonna have sundaes at home, and I'm the only one there at 14 years old getting the call from my great grandfather, who didn't even recognize my voice because he was so out of shape, looking for my dad, trying to let my dad know that his mother had passed away.
Oh man.
And so I had to call the restaurant where my dad and mom and were with my other grandparents and have my dad paged in the restaurant to come to come to the phone, because that's the way it worked back then. So I had to call this was one of the worst phone calls to ever have to make to somebody.
Yeah.
Calling somebody to tell them that one of their parents has passed away is an amazingly difficult phone call to make. It is heart-wrenching that you have to give that information. I was 14 years old. It really set a precedence for kind of a lot of the things that I do in my life, and the fact that I'm really good and really okay with being a person that gives that kind of information, because it is heart-wrenching, it is difficult, but I did it at the age of 14 for my dad. I told my dad that his mom had died. And that was one of the first times that I saw my dad cry, was later that night.
Oh man.
And it's a different kind of moment. When your parent dies, it's a different thing. That person, we know we love our parents, even if we have problems with our parents, even if we hate our parents, we still love our parents to some extent. I can say I both loved and hated my mom, still do to this very day. those emotions are very strong on both things. Everybody that knows me knows that. I'm not saying anything that anybody doesn't know. I loved her completely and I hated her completely. She was probably the biggest villain in my life story, but don't the heroes still just love the villains a little bit? As much as they hate them, they still love them.
They do.
I definitely, you know, she's my mom. I loved her. I also couldn't stand being around her, but it's that moment when you find out that it happens, it is unlike anything else. The second hardest moment, not just telling, it's very hard to tell somebody that their mother has died. I've done it multiple times. I had to do it multiple times when my mother died. I had to tell more than one person. My dad was in no condition to tell anybody that day. So I called, I went and picked up one of my sisters. I think he called one of my sisters. I went and picked up the other one. I called both my brothers, even though she was not technically their mom. Mm-hmm. She was their stepmom. I still called both of them to let them know. Sadly, my wife was the one who received the phone call from my father. That was very difficult for her, because my mom liked her better than she liked me. Let's be honest. Anybody that knows us again knows my mom absolutely loved my wife. Yeah, she could have done without me, but she loved my wife. She was probably most proud of me for marrying her, which I'll take that. I'm proud of myself for marrying my wife. I did a good job there. So we can agree on that thing.
Yeah.
But it's a very hard phone call to receive. I did that day. I did the second hardest thing I've ever had to do, which was to call somebody to let them know that their child had passed away, because I called my grandfather to let my grandfather know that he passed away.
Oh man.
It's a very, very hard phone call to make. That one was harder. The dad calling and telling somebody that their parent passed away, so much easier than telling somebody that their kid passed away.
Yeah.
That one is like, because you don't expect your kid to die before you do. That's not what you expect to have happen. But anyway, the point here being, we are at that age group where we're going to be seeing a lot of this. We may even be seeing some of our friends at this point, getting into the 40s. We may have friends who have health issues that end up taking their life sooner than what should be. I can say in the last 5 years, 6 years, I've had two friends that are that are Zennials, that are within our age group. Two friends that died. One of them from sadly being too caught up in the life of drugs. The other from health issues that he never completely took care of properly, and he eventually succumbed to them. And these are people that, I mean, one of them I only met, the one that had that passed because of some unfortunate drug issues, I had only known since I was 20. But that's still a long time that I knew this person.
Yeah.
The other one I knew back when I was 13. This guy, actually 12. We were friends when I was 12. This was a guy that you met him at our wedding, at mine and my wife's wedding. You probably don't remember this specific one, but one of the other friends that you may remember that was part of the wedding party, very tall one with long hair. He was the friend that took care of this other guy until the other guy passed.
Oh man. And, yeah, I know who you're talking. I remember who you're talking about.
We were all in this, I had been a part of that circle of friends. I moved away from the area. They added in a few more friends, but I was still a part of it whenever I went down to visit. And me and this one guy and another guy were the people who kind of started this group of friends. Mm-hmm. And so, me and the other guy, we've reconnected over the past few years, and good buddy lives in Utah. We talk fairly regularly, and it's difficult for us because our lives, both of us have kids, and we have, you know, had things in our lives that made it really hard to go see this other third friend. And we both kind of missed out on getting to see him in the last few years of his life and weren't there for him. In the end, we're grateful for the friend who was, but it is kind of sobering that the three of us started this group of friends together. And we both the two of us had left at different points. I left it as a, you know, in high school, he left after high school, but this other one guy kept this group going. But, you know, we're at that age where we're going to start having that happen. We're going to lose friends that we're close to of our age group. And we're going to start losing our family. And we need to be prepared for this. We need to understand that this is the eventuality that's going to happen. Yeah. This is the end for all of us. It's going to happen. You're going to have emotions. You need to have emotions. You need to feel those. You need to express them. But you also need to find that there is still humor and light in life, even when you feel dark in those moments. And that's what I was alluding to earlier before the break, is the fact that we talked about this very serious thing happening, and you, Mike, having to be prepared to take care of the things at the house so that your wife can go. And at first the thought was, which is why we didn't do the show last week, the episode, the first thought was you need to be prepared so that your wife can go and help take care of things, get the chance to see her dad before he does pass, and make sure she doesn't have to worry about home while she's out there. She knows you got it taken care of.
Yeah.
Sadly, she wasn't able to make it out there in time to get to physically see him. And still, she had to go out and take care of everything, help her family with things. And she still needed you to be able to hold down the house and her not to have to worry. Those are all very serious things, and you're doing the best thing that you can do to make it so she can be out there, get through the process she needs to out there, and then when she comes home, it's still a warm, welcoming environment for her where she can go through the rest of the process that she's going to need you for.
Yeah.
And need you to be there for with her. And you're prepared. You and I have discussed this. You're prepared. You're ready to go. You're doing your best. I would say this is when normally somebody might say that your wife is a lucky woman. I think that your wife is going to get what everybody should get, but not enough people do get from their spouse. So yes, your wife is a lucky woman because you're an awesome dude.
Oh, thank you.
You have the right mindset, and you're trying to take care of business like you need to be supportive and helpful for her in her difficult time. It's about her. It's not about you.
Yeah.
And that's, thank you. You're doing what you can to make it about her. But at the same time, I believe, for me anyway, other people may not see it the same way, but for me, these are moments where we still have to have levity. We still have to have the moment to be able to laugh at different things and enjoy life. Even knowing that there's tragedy that is struck, you need to have some enjoyment of life. In these moments when, and I'm one of those people that I use humor as my way to get through stressful moments. When my mother died, we contacted all the family, and all the family came to the area. We weren't doing a funeral, but we were going to have the ability for people to view her afterwards. And then we were going to just kind of have a get together with everybody afterwards outside somewhere. Cause that's, if my mother had her way, we would have all been at the beach, but we live too far away from a beach to make that an easy trip. But outside in nature, that would have been her thing. And people just gathering and talking and having a good time eating and doing stuff. That's what she would want things to be. And so we were prepared to do that. But as people were coming and showing up, my dad decided we'd go out to dinner one night with everybody that showed up, the aunts, the two older siblings, the older brothers that, again, not her kids, but still absolutely loved her and adored her. One of them was her favorite kid anyway. So that one came from where he lives out in the middle of the desolate wasteland of Ohio. The other one came up from more southern part of California, not entirely southern, those in the Bay. So we all came together, and the one that lives here in California, he's been around us more. The one that lives in Ohio, he's been away from the family for a pretty long period of time. So he knows us, he loves us all, but he doesn't necessarily know all of our personalities entirely.
Yeah.
He doesn't understand the way that we work through things. And the aunts, I grew up really not knowing my aunts very well. They lived in Southern California. We didn't see them that often. So they have no idea who we are as people. And we all sit down to have dinner, big, huge table. We're all sitting at the table, trying to eat. We're ordering different things. And, I'm sitting fairly close to my dad. My job here is being supportive of my dad. I'm also trying to be supportive of one of my sisters who found out the day after our mother died that she was pregnant with her first kid, which was just like,
oh,
seriously? You find out the day after your mother dies that you're pregnant with your first kid. That's just, first of all, we're worried about, damn, mom, you trying to reincarnate yourself that fast? Which is the humor that we threw out immediately. It's like, you're not going to give us any rest from you. You're coming back that quickly. But also, my priorities shifted to, this really sucks for my sister. I mean, I miss my mom and I'm sad that I lost my mom, but damn it, she's having her first kid and her mom's not going to be there in her corner with her first kid. That is just messed up.
Yeah.
So, dealing with all those things, and I make the quip, well, mom would be really happy that we were all together like this, but damn, she really went to extreme lengths to make this happen.
Oh.
I mean, seriously? my aunt looked at me like I had literally told the Pope to go fuck a donkey in the ass. In the middle of the Vatican. The brother from Ohio was looking at me like, oh my gosh, how could you say that? The brother from California is laughing. My two sisters are laughing. My wife is shaking her head like, oh my God, why did you say that in front of these people? They won't get it. But you know what the biggest key was? The most important things, this is 2 days removed from my mother dying. 2 days removed. She died on the third. She was found in bed on a Thursday morning, passed away. This was Saturday night. Okay.
Yeah.
Saturday night. My father sitting right near me at the table. He's laughing.
Oh, there you go.
He's laughing because he gets the way that we process things. We use humor to process things.
Yeah.
We make jokes about these things because that's the way. We're not intending to hurt. We're intending to try to bring some levity to the serious situation and realize, yes, this person is gone, but this person wouldn't want us all just to be sitting around crying and being pathetic and not going on with our lives. We need to go on with our lives. We need to find the bright points in all of it. Find the humor in it. Life throws all kinds of things at you. If you can't find the humor, if you can't find the good in even the worst of circumstances, some circumstances are so bad that you can't. And that means that,
yeah,
that shit's bad. Shit's bad. Okay. Mm-hmm. You're, I could throw out some major extremes that would be like, Mike could be going, really, James, you went there. I'm not going to go there like I usually do, but there's extreme situations where, no, you're not going to find humor in this situation. There's just some places where it's too much. And I understand that.
Yeah.
But that means that situation is a situation that human beings should never have to be in. Whether they are sometimes or not, they should never have to be in. And those are tragic. And that's where you take it the extra level. But the things that are the normal human process, like sadly having our friends and family at some point pass away. This is what happens in life. Life happens this way. It can be, there are times when it is more tragic than not, but these are the things that happen, and we need to have the ability to weather those storms, to find the reason to keep on going and find the reason to keep laughing. And I always come back to the story of when Christopher Reeve had his injury falling off. He fell off the horse and he paralyzed his body in falling off the horse. He was in the hospital. And this is a guy who's made a pretty decent amount of money. He's been freaking Superman, right? Mm-hmm. This is Superman. He can't move his body at all. Complete quadriplegic. Mm-hmm. He can't breathe on his own without a machine.
Yep.
He didn't want to go on living. He was done. And then a doctor walked in. And the doctor starts messing around with the hospital equipment, you know, messing around with bedpans, making all kinds of jokes, doing all kinds of crazy crap. And Christopher Reeve found himself laughing at the crazy stuff that the doctor was doing until the doctor revealed himself. And it's Christopher Reeve's old roommate from Juilliard. Yep. Christopher Reeve was a Juilliard trained actor.
Yep.
It was his old roommate from Juilliard, Robin Williams.
Yep.
And it was
what the doctor was doing, I knew exactly who you were talking about.
And it was at that moment that Christopher Reeve found that he had to live. There was something more to live with. His mind still worked. He still could have some kind of quality and enjoyment of life. And Robin Williams helped him with that. It's even more tragic now knowing the demons that Robin Williams was dealing with for all the many years that he was dealing with them. His goal at that point was to try to cheer up his friend who he knew was in probably the worst situation he's ever been in his entire life. And that's the thing is, we need to be prepared in this generation for the fact we are going to have these losses. We're getting to that point where we have to be prepared for our parents to be gone. They will be at some point or another.
Yeah,
you have to be prepared for the fact that they may need our assistance. They may not want it either because their generation taught them not to want the help. They may need our assistance. They may, and we also may not necessarily want to give them our assistance. And we have to battle that choice, what we're going to do, whether we're going to help them or whether we're not going to help them. That's an individual choice. And it shouldn't be based on they're your parent. I have to help them because they're my parent. There should be other factors involved in that. Although if that is what your basis for the decision is, it's your own personal journey. You have to live with the decision that you make to help take care of them or to not. And that's the things that we are slowly building into the world of, are moving into as we get older, as our parents get older. And this sadly happened to your wife, sir, but it can serve as kind of a step off point for anybody listening to this, that this can happen at any moment. We need to be prepared for it. We need to understand it's coming and find the ability to experience it, work through it, find the reason to keep going and the humor that lies still within this world. And that's part of that's personal. I'm not going to make any jokes as far as I did know your wife's parents to some extent. They were old customers of mine at Blockbuster, which is how I met your wife.
Yep.
As being a customer of mine. And they didn't remember me the last time I saw them, which was at your guys' wedding. They had no room. Me, which is fine. I was just the faceless guy behind the counter that would check their movies out to them. But I would hope they'd remember because I was somewhat instrumental in helping you guys kind of get to know each other in the very beginning. But whatever, fine, whatever. You guys appreciate me for it, so I'm okay with that. That's enough for me. But I can say that they were always exceptionally nice people to me. I have nothing but good personal memories of them. I'm sad I didn't know her parents even more and her father even more. But I'm definitely, because of that, I'm not necessarily gonna make any jokes about anything, but if she does, I will be open and receptive when she's ready to and how she's ready to. And that's the thing, is it's the grieving people's process more than anything else. Be there for them and don't be surprised if humor is a way that they get through it. Not necessarily about the deceased, but about other things. And if you can bring in humor that are not related to try to help them, so, and nothing that's going to trigger them in any way, but something that's still funny, then bring in some of that humor because they need to have a reason to laugh. They need to have a reason to see that not everything in the world is just all this darkness.
Yeah.
And if you can provide that, that's what's great. On that specific note, we're going to take a little bit of a change. We did some serious here to talk about this situation. But right here at the end, I want to do a little bit of a change.
Oh.
Mike had said right before, this is on you, sir. This is to bring that levity in.
Oh, no.
Mike had said right before the we started recording for the day that he had some kind of music news he wanted to bring in. He knew it would get me to overreact. And my hope is my overreaction is going to be the humor.
All right, this is a fucking hard swing. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready for it. Give the hard swing.
Okay. So this week, there was a new album dropped. Limp Bizkit's first album in 10 years dropped this week. And just to let you know, I don't know if you have seen what the album title is called, but the album is called Limp Bizkit Still Sucks.
Yes, I saw that.
That's the name, which that caught my attention because if they're recognizing it and they're just leaning
it's very Facebook.
It's very Facebook, but at the same time, it's very much leaning into that whole. Okay, all right.
Sorry, I'm sorry. You didn't get the joke I just made.
What?
It's very new name.
Very yes, now very meta. Yes. Yes. Thank you. No, it definitely is. It's very self-referential. I loved it. And so I was like, okay, these guys have caught my attention. When I had the opportunity to finally sit and listen to it, I did. And I have to tell you, and I know that you won't agree, because you fucking hate Limp Bizkit. That album has no... Okay. Limp Bizkit has no business putting out an album that good. I am absolutely shocked at how well they are leaning into the fact that they are... ridiculous bands on the planet.
So are they leaning into like is it a new metal album or is it a different? Because I know we've talked before that some of the more recent albums of theirs have the more recent ones before they stopped doing them shied away from the new metal entirely, kind of had a little bit more experimentation going on with some stuff and some different stylistic stuff going on.
Well, they did a couple so the attempts that they were doing on stuff like Results may vary, which just was fucking trash. Like, I hate that album. It was the one album that didn't have Wes Borland in it. I think they got the guitarist from Snot for that one or something like that. I can't remember. But that album was them trying to attempt to expand and be more. This album is them doing things they feel like doing because they don't have to care anymore. It's leaning into the fact that you're absolutely out of style.
So
and not giving a shit. Yeah.
But so it's not a new metal album. This is more experimentation.
No, it's a new metal album. It just has a couple of extra things in. Oh, yes. It's definitely new metal. Okay. It's definitely the Limp Bizkit sound, but it's also experimentational to the point where it's appropriate. They do have something. They have a track that sounds a bit grunge-esque in its formation, but it's a Limp Bizkit track. They have a track that sound. They have a very well written ballad, like an acoustic style ballad that's on there. That's very well done. There is a track that is literally them talking about how people fucking hate them. But not like ha ha. Jokes on you. We don't give a fuck. Like
here's the thing.
The chorus line.
You thought that I would like have a problem with this?
I thought you may have a problem with this because you're like, because I know you're not a fan, and Durst himself has proven himself to be a complete fucking jerk in many instances over time.
And here's the deal. There are a few songs that I like, and I definitely will sing along with because at the time they were big.
They're
but
huge.
It's more the persona of the band and the people in the band. Durst is a complete and utter douche. I mean, that's part of the reason I do have issues with here's the thing, when band members become too much of like complete asses. I just can't deal with them anymore.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether I like the music, I have to like really, really like the music. So like there's certain bands that I can forgive certain members of the band for being, problematic, human beings. For instance, I am still to this day a Metallica fan, regardless of what some of the members of them sometimes do, you know, some of the ways that some of the members handle their things. I can look at the music and say, musically, these guys are freaking amazing, and I absolutely love them. Personally, I would hang out with two of them. You know, it's
Wes and John.
Huh?
Wes and John.
Of what? Limp Bizkit?
Yeah.
I was still speaking Metallica.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I would only hang out with one person in Limp Bizkit.
You would hang out with Wes.
But I like their music. I like some of their music to some extent, but it's the more the attitude of the band. And then you also have to add in, there's a third thing to add into that, and that's the fan base. And fan base can be a big deal. Like, there are some bands where I hate all three elements of that. I'm looking at you, Pantera. But and out of that, sadly, the fan base is the worst part of the Pantera thing. That's the worst part of it.
No,
music is awful. The people, the band members were awful, but the fans were the worst part of the Pantera experience.
Well, a lot of the time, the fans of a band will ruin the perception of the band overall. Like, that's a big deal.
That can happen.
And then it will affect your opinion of their music and that kind of stuff, you know?
That is not the case with Pantera, but yes, that can happen. their music is trash. Fair. Complete and utter trash. But anyway,
hold that thought real quick, because I did want to interject a bit. You are touching on a point which I find really funny, because I actually was in... Dude, okay. To give you an idea of what's going on with this album... So I was talking to, I work in a record store. I was talking to one of the managers, and the discussion of that album popped up because one of the newer employees, a little bit younger, who had listened to a bunch of, like, he's actually like a Gen Zer, and he was, he said he basically grew up listening to Limp Bizkit, and he thinks this album is the worst thing they've ever done, but he's like 18 years old. So I'm like, okay, the part of me, like, I tried to explain to him, it's about the idea of understanding you're going to get old, you're going to become invalid, and you can either lean into it and become entertaining, or you can try to continue to take yourself seriously and look like a complete asshole. And I kind of tried to explain it to him, but he's 18. He doesn't get that yet. Younger people aren't going to get that.
Well, and there are even some older people who don't get it that criticize a band when they do two albums that should have been one album in one, but got split into two albums. It was one full recording session, really, but it got split into two albums.
Oh, yeah.
That was getting a little bit more experimental and going a few other directions musically, and actually having more layer and depth to the music and putting more emotion into the music. And they get attacked so hard that the next couple of albums are just basically, one was an album about a band breaking down. The other two were attempts to rehash the old days that, sounded all right, but the best songs on them are the songs that are actually still carrying some of that emotional basis and sound like they belong on the two albums that everybody freaking hates. And they hate it because, I'm sorry, we can't let a band change and grow. It needs to do the exact same thing. And then you have another band, like the one from Australia, that literally you hear one of their songs, it's like, I'm not sure which album that's from. I'm not even sure which decade that's from, because it all sounds
so damn
exactly
consistent.
The freaking same.
Yep.
Because they never change and never grow and never do anything. And that's the thing, is it's a difficult thing. Either people understand you when you as a band change. I've been being introduced to a new band from the Zach person, I'm mentioning him again, that used to be a black metal band, but then started adding in some jazz horn, some saxophone and stuff.
Oh, I'm gonna have
to
hear
this. And
they
started getting all jazz experimental and proggy with the jazz. And then they've done like multiple changes in the way that they make music, to the point where, at first in their experimental jazzy stuff, they weren't even doing any vocals, because they had just done like the black metal vocals. And then they started branching into doing clean vocals and different songs, and they're a whole different band now, and each album is kind of a different feel to it. And so they have a very strong loyal fan base, but it's not a very large fan base, because when bands do things like that, they face the different backlash from it. And what you're saying with this Limp Bizkit thing is they are being, again, very meta about it, very much like, yeah, we suck, but we're going to do it anyway. And you can say we suck. We don't care. We're just going to do it, which plays with their entire attitude of, you know, we don't care, which that's a literal lyric from one of their songs.
Yeah.
But the thing is, that's great. If they're wanting to outright say it with the title of the album, with songs in the album, with the whole persona that they're doing, hey, we're a bunch of old fucks making the same type of music, and we know that people hate us for it, but we don't give a damn. We're just going to keep doing it. Here's the thing. I could respect Nickelback if Nickelback flat out came out and said, yeah, we know y'all hate us. We know y'all hate us. We're going to make the same type of music over and over again because other people like us. And all of you guys that hate us, guess what? Your frustrated housewives, they love us. So if they come out and just flat out said that and were right in your face about it, I'd be like, all right, they know.
Yeah,
they
understand that. They understand
that they're awful, but they're still going to keep doing it because they're making tons of money. Great.
It's like taking the Guy Fieri approach to music entertainment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
my cousin Guy. The guy who stole my fashion look?
Yes, yeah, that guy. Yeah, for sure. Like it's that idea. Give a shit. Become this big extra, you know, like
you're going to make me a meme of some guy with bleached hair and a bleached goatee wearing flames and stuff. You're going to make memes out of me? Fine. I'm going to wear it more.
Yeah, exactly.
The crap out of me.
Yeah, exactly. I don't care. It's proper. That's how you become entertaining.
That's how I feel about my Crocs. Just so you know. This is how I feel
about my Crocs. Fair.
You're going to make fun of it?
Fair. Okay. All right. I can get behind that. I can get behind that.
You're going to invite me to a fancy dinner? I'll wear a suit with my Crocs. In fact, I will get custom Crocs designed. I've already thought about this, man. I've already thought about, you know, if I ever did anything as an actor and got to go to the Oscars, you know, because when I was younger, I dreamed of that because I wanted to be an actor. I'll be wearing a tux to the Oscars with Crocs that are custom Crocs that look like little tuxedos. I'd have little tuxedo Crocs.
Oh, my God. That sounds terrible. And I so see you doing that now.
It would be awesome. Wouldn't be terrible. It would be awesome. But anyway.
Yes.
So, okay, we didn't get the exact humor that I was looking for, and I'll be completely honest, I'm interested in checking this album out. I have a feeling my wife, who was a big Limp Bizkit fan and still is, I have a feeling that she may be in the group that doesn't like the album, and I might like it because of the fact that they're being so self-referential about it. I love it when people can make fun of themselves.
Oh yeah.
I love it when people can make that joke, 'cause again, they're finding the humor in the world. Humor has to exist in the world.
Yes.
That still gets back to the point that I was saying. So anyway, we're gonna bring this one to an end because
I think that's a good place to call it.
We have things to do. I have a football game to watch. Mike has dogs.
Yeah, I have my arms full of dogs right now. I've been sitting. I've got one in my left hand. So I've got one laying down in my left arm. I have another one in the bed on the floor. And then I have the third one, Clint. He has cradled himself between my leg and my chair, which is like a gaming chair. So it doesn't really, like, I have a blanket laid down because that's what he does with Tass when she's working. But because the chair is, it has too much give and space between, in the space he's laying in, he'll fall out of that little groove. So I have to hold the blanket I am sitting on up over the chair arm so it doesn't fall out and he doesn't fall out of the chair. I have no free hands right now.
I mean, yeah. I feel for you.
This is my life at the moment.
Hey, but you know what? You're doing what you need to do. And take away from this episode. These things are going to happen in our life. Be there to support the people that are important to you when these things happen. Look for the support of the people around you when they happen to you.
Yeah.
And look for the humor. Look for the ways to at least keep some light in your life during our dark times.
Yeah.
Mike, where are people listening to this message from us?
Well, you can be checking us out on our website, thezenigochronicles.com or zencron.com. If you don't want to type that much, you could also check us out where most major podcasts are. I listen to us on Google Podcasts personally. And you can also check us out on our YouTube page as well. We actually, our podcasts come out in video form on our YouTube page. If you're there on YouTube and you are listening to this in video format, you should, if you haven't already, click that like button, please, for us. That helps us out so that we get shown to more people on YouTube because we're trying to build our page and let more people know who we are. And on top of that, next to the like button, there is also a button called the subscribe button. You need to hit the subscribe button for us. So you subscribe to our channel. The next podcast or video we have come out, you get notified. You know, even if we completely, I mean, you won't get notified if we don't put out a video like we didn't put out last week to explain why we didn't have a podcast. But then you'll know when we have this podcast.
Hold on. If they just subscribe, they won't get notified. If you just subscribe, if that's all you do is subscribe, you won't necessarily get notified.
Oh, man. Is there something else you have to do about that?
There is something they have to do.
Oh.
There's another thing. I'm going to let you do it since you've had the stressful week even more than mine. I mean, yes, I almost got my hand crushed and, you know, other things. But, you know, I'm currently married to a night fury. That's a little inside joke.
Okay. You're going to have to explain that one to me later.
I'll explain that one to you later.
Yeah.
She's going to hate me if she ever listens to this, but she doesn't. What's the there's that one other thing that you have to do. You have to do one other little part. There's another, you have to, what do you have to do, Mike? What is it? What does you have to do?
I know. You got to click the bell.
Exactly. You click the bell so that's when it notifies you. You can be subscribed all you want to, but like you have to go back and check to see when we put stuff out. No, you clicking that bell, you're getting the information. It's saying, hey, guess what? You get the little thing pop up on your phone. Hey, they put out another video. Listen to this crap. The fat one says funny things. the redheaded one is like, why did you say that, dude? We're going to get in trouble. Anyway, while you're there at the YouTube doing all those things, again, check out Mike's other pages. He has the page with his wife, the Chronosote Games. This is them playing the video games, chronological order. If you've heard this podcast before, you've heard the whole spiel. Right now, there's going to be a little bit of gap in stuff because Mike is entertaining enough on his own, kind of. I mean, he has the Ruling Note music, but I think he does best when he has the other people involved. And he obviously does a lot better with his wife than he does with me because they got way more people watching that, but that's all right. Still. It's going to be a little hiatus on that, but that gives you time if you haven't been watching that stuff to go back and watch all the older stuff that they've already got put out. Go watch their videos of them playing video games. Get to know both of them a little bit better from this. Again, if you're just a listener to the podcast, get to know Mike's wife. She's funny. She's great. And again, I mentioned his Ruling Note music. This is Mike's other page. It's just him. And it's him talking about music and gear stuff, history of music stuff. Check both of those out. Like, subscribe, click the bell on those so you get the notifications so that you have something to entertain yourself with. And I guarantee you, all of them have some humor in it so that you can find that spark of joy, that little bit of light in life, even when we deal with all of the stresses.
Yeah.
Thank you all for listening, and we'll be back again next week.
Y'all have a good one.
Thank you for tuning in, friends. The journey continues next week.